We're at the Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we are very, very fortunate to be able to introduce the Mishnah properly. Shi'er Miktzat Haget. Kitavo B'Daf Hasheni. Now, we've been discussing interesting questions of placement of a get and the get's relationship to the signatures that are beneath it. Here, we have a single get that is written in two columns. Yesterday, we spoke about two columns. Each of one was a separate get, and the way we could work out the signatures to be under both that were possible. But how about when a get is written in two columns, and in the second column, which is the end of the get, the Edim sign there, but the first column doesn't have any signature, obviously. The Edim Elamata. So you were shir miktzat haget to ketavo b'daf hasheni. You decided to either you ran out of space, we'll see what the case is. And part of the nusach of the get was written on the beginning of the second column, and the edim are signed right there at the bottom of that second column. It's kosher. Chotmu edim barosh hadaf. Now, if, however, the edim signed at the top of the page, or they signed minatzah, they signed at the edge of the page, o miacharav beget pashuta, they signed on the back of the paper, when it's a get pashut and therefore has to be signed on front as opposed to a get bekushar with all front anyway, we sew up so that the signature can only be in back. In all such cases, it would be possible. Now, if you keep rosho shel zeh, bitzad rosho shel zeh, the edim be'emtza, let's say that you have the two gitim head to head on one piece of paper, the edim are in the middle of the two heads, so that they're not signed at the bottom of either of the gittim. So then, consonant with what we just said, that if the edim are signed on the top of the page or on the side, it's not kosher. So then it's not kosher because neither of these gittim have edim signed at the bottom of the contract. Both of them have a signature on the top of the contract. So there's shneihem psulim. Now, if you have the gittim bottom to bottom, sofer shel zeh betzad sofer shel zeh, and the edim are in the middle, so then the ones where the edim can be read as signed on that document, so in other words, they're in the same direction as one of those documents, that's the get that's kosher. So, she'edim nikrinim kosher. The other one doesn't have any witnesses, because there the witnesses are obviously referring to the other one, because they're upside down to this one, which is not believable to us. Et she'edim, now, how about if you have a case of rosho shel zeh, bitzat sofo shel zeh, via edim be'emtza? How about if you have the top of one next to the bottom? In other words, there's two gittim, one under the other. The edim in the middle, so again, the one that the edim are signed on is the only one that's kosher. The other one, the edim are signed on top. And we just said that on top is not good. Furthermore, if you have a get which was written in Hebrew, shekatavo ivrit, ve'edav yevanit, or yevanit ve'edav ivrit, as we spoke about yesterday, and over here we don't have the complications of the two columns and trying to figure out whose name is under what. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Or for that matter, edachad ivri, edachad yevani, no problem. Katav sofer ve'ed. Now we know that that may not mean literally katav sofer. May mean chatam sofer. That was Rabbi Yirmiyah's pshat, which we'll, of course, we'll get to in the Gemara here finally. But we've discussed so many times before whether we actually need the chatima, the katav not meaning anything, because who says that the katav was katav al pi the baal, and that necessarily the very fact that my handwriting is throughout indicative of this being a get means necessarily that it was written l'shem gitin on the tzivoy of a baal. Remember that Shmuel said earlier that in a case where the sofer is a sofer muvhak, then he disagrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah, and indeed a sofer muvhak, being as he would never have written a get unless it was given to him to write by a baal. He would never allow a get to get out of his hands. It could be used by somebody that could then grab a single eid and a woman would take it and would use it. So then it is the equivalent of a chatima. But that, once again, we'll review that in the Gemara. So katav sofer ve'ed kasher. Now, as far as what you have to write in a signature, if you write ish ploni eid, so you just write your name, kasher. Or if you write ben ish ploni, a kasher. This also are things we referred to yesterday. Ish ploni, ben ish ploni, without the word eid. It's also kasher. And actually, kach hayu nikiyei hadat shel Yerushalayim osim. Just like nowadays, the old Yerushalmim never went in for all the legalese, chumras, mishagasim, and so on and so forth. And they said, what do you think my signature is there for? I'm playing tiddlywinks here. I wrote my signature as an eid. I have to know, say I'm an eid. Please. All this legalese is going to land us God knows where. So they would never write the word eid.
There's no day that says it has to say mystery.
Furthermore, katav chanichato v'chanichata. If you wrote the name of the family, here where our president isn't here, you refer to the person by the family name instead of by their name, right? So you call them Sefer. You know, Sefer was Megaresh Katzav. You know, used to be the family, they were all Sefer, they were all butchers and so on. So Sefer is Megaresh Katzav. Which Sefer? Which Katzav? Because Eidei Mesirah, they know which sefer, which ketav. I mean, ketzav. There's nothing wrong with what they're referring to them. I mean, and if you wrote the personal imot, there's not three chaya ketzavs. I mean, what's also not going to prove you anything? You were talking about family names. You're coming late. It was all your concern yesterday. Right? So the Mishnah says over here, if you use only the family name, you don't say Ploni ben Ploni, the family name, which creates more confusion. If you write only Abramovich, so what would Abramovich mean? Abramovich would mean from the family of Avram. Okay, so that's also good. Yeah, so that's fine. That's Chanichatov, Chanichatov, and also Bikosh. Now, we'll define more carefully in the Gemara what family level that could refer to. Says the Gemara, getting back to that first case, you say you have half of the get on column one, the conclusion of the get on column two, and the signature on column two. Now, how do we know that this is all one get? How do we know that what happened wasn't that the guy sliced off, there were two getten over here. There was one get that had started higher up on the page so that the second column actually extended above the first column that we see. The guy sliced it off because what had originally happened is that this side was one get, the other side was another get, and what we're looking at is a half of one and a half of the other, in which we have the first part of get A, unsigned, because he cut it, that part was never completed, and then we have another part from a get that was completed with a signature, but we don't have a kosher get either way. So how do we know that we shouldn't look at it like that? I mean, obviously we're not Stam going around making up cheshashes, but surely this is a little bit strange, this get written on two columns. I mean, that's not the way you usually write a get. Something looks like it happened over here. So v'leichesh duma hani trei giti havi. Yisramele zman dekama. So a guy found the first part of one get, and that was the beginning. And now he found the Edim part, and the last few lines of the other get. And so what he did was, he cut it, gazil zman debatra, he cut it in such a way that he sliced off the part of the second column, which had extended above the first column, which indicated that it was somebody else's get. And he sliced off the Edim dekama. And he also, we don't have the bottom of the first get, and now he's basically using two half gets that he put into one, and we're coming along like a bunch of temples and believing that this is a get. So why don't we chashish for such a thing? Om Rebaba, Om Rav, well, very simple. It's talking about over here, kishi yesh revach milamata. It's clear that the get on the right-hand side stopped in the middle. It couldn't have been because there was a lot of space underneath, so that it couldn't be there was a get there and it had been cut. It wasn't cut. I see the margins. So the guy was trying to do something pretty. Who knows? So therefore, we don't have to worry. What do you mean we don't have to worry? We still have to worry. V'dilma zman debatra, migiz gazia. Maybe what happened is the guy had changed his mind about writing that get. It was originally written for somebody. Now that stopped. There was another get on top. Now he's going, I'm going to go through now this whole mice. I got to go pee for another get. I'll use this first part, connect it to the bottom half of somebody else's get myself a kosher get, and forget about the whole extra charges and the aid and all of this. Mishigas, I got a kosher document over here. Surely it's strange that a guy stopped the get on the bottom when he had plenty of room to write and moved on to the top of the next column. So doesn't that make you think that something weird was taking place over here? Why aren't we chayish for that? Well, look, in the same way Rabbi Abba Amarav said that we're talking about that there was room on the bottom, clearly it's also talking about Achinami Kishish Revach Melamala. In other words, we have room on top and on bottom. That's what happened. So if we have room on top and on the bottom, so then we see that there was not another get on top. Well, what do you mean there's room on top? I mean, why don't we say V'dilma imluch imlech v'katav? I mean, there's still something strange happened over here. Because why did the get stop where it's at? And why is it continuing as if there had been a break between the writing of the first column and the second column? Because, I mean, again, since it's written in such a strange way, you have to try to figure out what might have caused such a thing, even though normally it wouldn't have bothered you a problem like this. But it looks as if the guy had decided to give the get, got up to it to a particular place, and then decided, nah, forget about it, I don't want to be Megarish. Then, sometime later, he changes his mind, decides he does want to be Megarisha. So he gathers together now witnesses, comes to a sofer, who now starts a second column, because, I mean, he's continuing, he wants his own column, and the Edom sign. So you'll say, what's the problem with that? So Rashi says that the first get would be batal, because since he was nimlach lo legarsha, he was mevatal the get. Tesis, Tainas, that we had earlier, remember the machlokes. And indeed, Aliba the Reb Nachman, you can't be mevatal the get. You could only be mevatal the shlichut. Remember that machlokes? What do you mean he was mevatal the get? So how does Rashi understand that that would be the problem? So there's a number of approaches here. One approach that Tosfos says is that indeed, in a place where the get was already kosher, you can't be mevatal the get, Reb Nachman was saying. But as far as stopping the get in the middle, where you never had a kosher yet. And now you're trying to be mechaber, what it was that you wrote originally, which no longer is the intent, because that thing, I forgot about it, no longer use it. That already, you can't be mechaber, even I'll leave it a Reb Nachman, perhaps. Maybe that's what Rashi means. The Ri says that he thinks Dilma Im Lechim Luchim means that the date that's written on the right-hand column is no longer relevant to the closure, because it looks as if there was a break, in which case, if there was a break, it would be Nichtav Bayom and Echam Balaylam, or over here, God knows, it could have been a half a year, I mean, whatever. So because of that, why don't you have to be Chayish that there would be a problem with the get, since on its face, it seems that something weird had happened. Well, says Gemara, it's clear that there wasn't a break that wasn't some time in between that we would have a chashash. What happened is that the words hare'at, out of the hare'at muteret l'chol adam, the hare'at is written on the bottom line on the right-hand side, and it closes with those letters, hare'at. You move up to the top of the left column, and it says muteret l'chol adam. I mean, that's crazy already. What, the guy in the middle of writing hare'at muteret l'chol adam, hare'at, nah, forget about it. Then he comes back half a year later and decides that it's muteret. I mean, that's already not reasonable. Says the Gemara, well, what do you mean? I mean, Dilma, how can you draw me? I mean, I understand. It's because it's the middle of a sentence? I mean, it isn't weird to you anyway that the guy changed his mind? So he changed his mind in the middle of a sentence. That's so fundamentally different than changing your mind at the end of a sentence. Maybe it just happened that that's where you were up to. Hare'at, and he said, nah, the heck with it. I can't go through with this, so he doesn't sign.
Does it have to be that he changed his mind?
Yeah.
Phone rang? Or?
Well, again, that depends on how focused Rashi and Tosafot. If it's been a bittul, then it's changing his mind. If phone rang won't be a problem anyway. Doesn't, that wouldn't matter, except having to go unless the chashash was a different day, then yes. Because kuli ha'ilo chashina. Look, I mean, it gets to a point where the level of our basis to be chashash, which is simply the fact that the get was written on two columns in a way that why, is not sufficiently strong to create a suspicion which has so many coincidences. And so, it's a judgment question. Ravashi says it's not a judgment question. We can answer all of the problems very simply. We're talking about the idea of a matchata de megilta. When you write on parchment, so just as anybody who has seen a stretched canvas for an artist knows that the edges of the stretching are bent, folded a little bit, and not really usable. When you stretch parchment, it's very, very clear where the parchment was stretched, and the part that you had used the eraser to clear off and get all the hair off, and so on and so forth. So you could see there was no room to, there was never another shtar that was here. Therefore, there's nothing weird about this. It's not like where we had a chalak piece of parchment, and now you're wondering, wait a second, maybe there was something above, maybe there was something underneath. No, it's talking about that there was more, there was also, then why is it hanging in the middle of a blank piece of parchment with two columns for no particular reason? I can answer all the problems. I know there was nothing above, and I know there was nothing below, not because it's not there that could have been cut off, but because it is there and it's not writable on. That's the point. And therefore, there is nothing strange to be my remark. Why did this happen? Must be that indeed he walked away in the middle. What do you mean, why did it happen? It happened because he ran out of space. I see that he ran out of space. So therefore, we don't have any of the problems. Chatmu edim barosh hadaf. Okay, now we said if the edim are signed on top, if they're signed on the side, on the back, it's no good. So, come on, what do you mean it's no good? Vaharav chatim min atzad. Rav himself used to sign on the edge of a shtar in Beit Din, or when he was writing out a shtar. I mean, l'chora that was true by Gittin too. No, well, that's different over there. Over there, it's talking about kishigago klapei aktav. Where do we say that it's not kosher to write min hatzad? Where the top of the writing is facing the edge of the paper. So then it looks like there was something above that had been written above your signature, which you signed on, and which was then cut. Now that's removed. Now we have your signature hanging in midair. Somebody now wants to use your signatures, and he writes a get going in the other direction, which was the only thing that was left on the paper, expecting that that's okay because he's got two signatures signed now on the top. But those two signatures are screaming to us, hold on a second, they're in the wrong direction. It must have been something in the other way. But if you would have written the signatures on the side of the get as if the get was put on its side and now you wrote to the top of your writing is facing the language of the get, how did those signatures get there, for heaven's sakes, if they're not part of the get? So then it would be kosher. So there, Rav was actually okay. And that's why he was chotim min atzad. Says the Gemara, don't you say, Rav, hotam b'shigago klapei aktav. There was talking about that the top of the writing was facing the writing of the get. Says the Gemara, but then the rest of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because then you say, hikif rosho shozeh b'tzad rosho shozeh. If you have two gitim head to head, and the edim are in the middle, both are puzzle. Why are both puzzle? Let's take a look. V'lich sehaim enayu klapei aktav v'lit kasher. Which one is facing now, the top of the signatures, is facing towards one or the other of these gitim? So whichever one it's facing, it's like minatzad, and it's clear that it was signed for that, right? So obviously that's not good, because you say, as a matter of course, both of them are puzzle. No, no, that's talking about, you thought the Adam in the middle means that they're written horizontally in the middle. They're written vertically in the middle. So they're written like a stick that connects the two gittin, like an ibra. The ibra is the stick that sticks out at the bottom of the doorway in order to plug into the ibra, the dasha, the hole underneath where the door swings on. So over here, the two gittin swing on the signatures, which are vertical to the get horizontal. Therefore, the Ktav is neither towards Get A or towards Get B, and that would be the problem. Says the Gemara, very inventive, but sorry, that doesn't work. Because the Yahachi, if that's the case, so then the next piece of the Mishnah, the Sefer Diktani, Rosho Shel Zeh Betzat Sofo Shel Zeh, where you've got now two Gittim, one underneath the other, and the Adim are in the middle, so then the ones that the Adim are Nikrin B'Sofo is kosher, but if we're talking about a vertical signature, they're not Nikrin with either, so it shouldn't matter whether the Gittim are head-to-head or one after the other. If the Adim are in the middle and they're written vertically, neither of these should be kosher. Either Rami Ki Ibra, if you're claiming that the signature was vertical, Lav Bahadi Hai Mikri, Vlav Bahadi Hai Mikri, they cannot be read as going on either of the Gittin, even though these Gittin are written bottom to head. So sorry. Okay, changed my mind. It's never kosher. Made a mistake. It's not kosher on the side. I don't care what direction it's in. But what about Rav? Rav. Case of Rav, and it says Rav used to sign. What do you think he used to sign? He used to sign whether we gave a summons to the court. He scribbled his signature anywhere on the document just to be authenticated that this is really coming under the authority of Rav's Bezdin. That's all. Nothing to do with the contract. Rav was Bediski. Bediski Avichatim. So he would sign, yes, he would sign on Diski as a sign of authentication, like you do today. A Pakita the bank, he stamps things, it could be anywhere. That's basically what it was anywhere. And nothing to do with saying, I made it, that something is true. But of course, in a contract, he would never have signed like that. The next case we had, Get Shekatov Ivrit, or Katav Sofer V'Eit Kasher. And here we get finally to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says it doesn't mean we're relying on the Ktav Yado of the Sofer. It means that the Sofer actually signed as a witness. That's what it's referring to. Chatam Sofer Shanim. Om Rav Chista, and once again, we're going to go through this sugya, but we know exactly what's coming up. We've had it so many times. What's coming up is once again the question of whether we have to be Chayshish, that the Sofer was invited to sign out of the embarrassment of the Shliach who didn't want to tell him that Dafka, other witnesses, were the one that were supposed to sign, right? So therefore, we have to make certain that that couldn't have been the case. Now, the only way it couldn't have been the case is if you hold Alib the Rabbi Yossi, that Mili lo Mimser on the Shliach, and furthermore, even if he said Imru, Amar Imru, also is not enough, or it's Velo Yaseka Zot B'Yisrael. So then it makes sense that no Sofer in his right mind would ever have signed unless he hears it directly from the Baal. Okay, therefore, we can say Chatam Sofer. But if you don't hold of Rabbi Yossi, and you hold Mili Arminzer in the Shliach, or you don't hold Lo Yaseka Zot B'Yisrael in such a case, or you hold that it's Shliach enough, so then this wouldn't work. It would have to be Katav Sofer. You'll say, how could it be Katav Sofer? Maybe the Sofer wrote it without the Rishus of the Baal, maybe he was practicing or whatever. As Shmuel said earlier, it's referring to a Sofer Mumcha, who would never do such a thing that it should be a Mikshal, could possibly have come from him. Therefore, everything makes sense. So Memela, we're referring to over here, Chatam Sofer, says Rav Chista, but only if it's Alib and Rabbi Yossi. Now, Alik Tuvat Chatanim, Da'ati Lekami Rabbi Avu, Da'aviyadi Le'tufsa, Ulechatimat Yada Dechat Sahada. In other words, Taksuva, that they wanted to be machshir in the same way. So they recognized the tofus of the shtar that had been written by such and such a sofer was clear. It had edim, but they could not be makayim the second aid. They only recognized the signature, were able to identify one of the signatures. So they wanted to be machshir, Rabbi Avu wanted to be machshir in his bezdin, based on Rabbi Yirmiyah's, the other approach of the Rabbi Yirmiyah, the poshut approach, is that it's tav sofer. So he sofer lechshure. So there was where this whole thing started. Rabbi Yirmiyah told them, no, that's not the meaning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Katav Sofer, but it means the Chatima of the Sofer. And since over here you do not have two witnesses, you only have one aid that you can be Makayim it with, you cannot use this Tuva at all. He can, but he didn't. He didn't sign. No. Katav Chanichato v'Chanichata, if you write the family name of the Chatan and the Kala, so then it's kasher. Tana Rabbana, what is a family name that's used? Chanichat Avot Begitin Ad Asara Dorot. Basically, if you take pride in your family up to 10 generations ago, you want to be mityaches to that chanich, that's fine, so that everybody knows that that's not Shina Shmo Vishma. People will still relate to their family from 10 generations, but beyond that 10 generations, generations, that's already, nobody really continues to use that as their name. Tan Rabban, Chanichat Avot Begitin Ad Asara Dorot, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Amar Shalosh Dorot. Only three generations is kosher, Mikan Ve'elech Pasul, unless, of course, it's still in use. Then it's this generation. Come on, Ozo Ad Amar Reb Chanina. Katav Chanichat Avot Begitin Ad Shalosh Dorot, come on, Rav Shimon Elazar. So Rabbi Chanina, who said three generations in Gittin is kosher, is obviously going like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Omer Rav Huna, Mikra, I can show you a remez in a pasuk that this is true. Because it says, Ki Tolid Banim is second generation. Uvnevanim is third generation. And then what's it say? Veno Shantem. Now forget about it. Then you're already too old to count. In other words, that family that was you, once it's Banim, Uvnevanim, anything beyond that is Veno Shantem. Anybody referring back to Richie's Pizza Shop three generations later, you know, and they sign Pizza Richie. That's not considered to be. That's not considered to be. That's not considered to be a kosher reference. Well, anyway, Chas V'Shalom didn't get, but it's not a kosher reference to a Chalif. I mean, unless, of course, a dog. Then we wouldn't mind. Okay. A beautiful, beautiful remez, no? Very, very cute. Om Reb Yehoshua ben Levi. Lo charva Eretz Yisrael ad she'avdu ba shiv'a batei dinim avodah zarah. Now, you should know that when we're referring over here, once we brought up already, you know, Shantem Ba'aretz, we're talking about the Churban and the way in which it relates to the history of a family, to a family tradition, we're bringing up also the fact that there were seven different groups, not seven generations, but seven families that were members of the line of Malchei Yisrael. And each one of those families is considered to be one Beit Din, because they were in charge of the way people view the Torah, their religious life, political life, and so on. And until there were seven different Batei Dinim that were Oved Avodah Zorah in Yisrael, this means more than seven generations again, but seven batei dinim. There was no churban. So lo churva eretz Yisrael at shavdu ba shiv'a batei dinim avodah zarah. Ve'elohein. Aseres ha-shvat. Ve'elohein. Yeravam ben Nevat and family. Basha ben Achiyam. Achav ben Omri, which is strange because, I mean, Omri comes first, obviously, and he was also a bit of avodah zarah. So why do we refer to the family as Achav ben Omri instead of just Omri? So obviously it's because Achav went even further than Omri. In other words, we call the avodah zarah of that mishpacha after the name of Achav, who was the one who made the best of it, rather than Basha, who was just an amateur. Omri was just an amateur. Yehu ben Nimshi, Pekach ben Remaliyahu.
This is why the Syrians called
him Yehu of Omri. Yes, but some say that it must be somebody else, that it was a Pekid. It wasn't really Yehu that it's referring to, because there's no such verse. You're talking about on that seller that has the picture. Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, I saw that. The Shalmaneser has, who supposedly didn't exist according to archaeologists for many decades. So Shalmaneser has this whole description of like everything that he's done, but he's got one picture. The picture of a guy that he puts together two names. That's what I say. It wasn't even a Melech, right? Of this Yehu the Jew who came to offer me tribute. He's got a picture of him. Right? This is like the most important thing. Who probably wasn't even a Melech. Anyway, Yehu ben Nimshi, Pekach ben Remaliyahu, Menachem ben Gadi, Hoshea ben Elah. Now, the truth is we're missing some batei dinim over here, but Rashi says that all of those brief, less than 1 year lived revolutionaries who just kept killing each other off before there was a chance to even register, they're not called separate batei dinim. We sort of absorbed them in the flow over here. So over there, after all of that time, you finally have, at the time of Hoshea ben Elah, you have the beginnings of the Galut. And that the beginning of the Galut is when we call Churva Eretz Yisrael. You know, the actual Churban was later. Shenema, where do we see a remez to this in the passage? Shenema umlala, yoledet hashiva. Ay, that nation umlala of Yisrael, who gave birth to the seven. Nafcha nafsha. She finally gave up the ghost. Bashim shah ba'od yomam. They had plenty of time to go, but the sun is set for them. Bosha v'chafira v'sheiritam lacherev. So they went to the Golus, which is Bosha v'chafira, and then the rest of them ultimately, we'll be destroyed. So this is the remez. What seven? Yaldashiva. This is the seven batei dinim. You know, it's really strange. Hoshea ben Elah, which is the end of this series over here, and we're saying you're considering the galut have begun from him. He was actually a good guy, relatively speaking, because I mean, it says in the pasuk, "Vayasara b'nei Hashem rak lo k'malchei Yisrael." He wasn't as bad as the Malchei Yisrael who came before him. Okay, so obviously there were improvements in his days. And yet it says about him, weird, that Dafka was in his days Allah Allah Shalmaneser. Note that it stresses the Allah. It doesn't say Allah Shalmaneser. So in other words, it has something to do with Hoshea ben Elah himself. Now, how do you explain the fact that the good guy is the guy who gets it, and the other ones, they got away with it? It says the Gemara, Malahu. Because what was he a good guy about? As we know, this is Tu B'Av, part of the Tu B'Av celebration. Is that Otan Pardesiyot, Shoshivi Rabam al Adrachim, Kedei Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael Lerega. So remember that Yeravam had put up policemen at the border, something like the way we treat the Gush, you know, now already. You know, when you're coming in, you make now already policemen at the border, you know, we're not so sure that you can come in. So he put up policemen to be Mavato people from going to the Beis HaMikdash so that they should come instead to Dan. So he canceled those crossings. Bye-bye, no more policemen. Yeah, you want to come? Yeah. You want to come? Come, go to Yerushalayim, Gesinterheit. At that point, of course, no one wanted to go to Yerushalayim. But that was terrible, because Afapike lo alu liyisrael regel. So still nobody was coming. So up until this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, okay, it's all the fault of the Malachim. My children really do want to come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Now it turns out there's nobody to blame. So my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, so that does it. Otam shanim shelo alu yisrael regel. So now all of these years I've been keeping calm. Now yelchu b'shevi. Omer of Chista, Omer Marukva. Omer lo Omer of Chista, Omer of Yirmiya. Dorash Marimar, when it comes to the Churban of Yerushalayim, my dichtiv vayishkod Hashem al ra'a vayaviya eleinu ki tzadik Hashem elokeinu. This is really weird. God really commits himself to the bad against us, brings it on us, because he's such a tzadik. Mishum de tzadik Hashem elokeinu vayishkod Hashem al ra'a vayaviya. Can you explain that? Because he's so interested in doing things in a kind sort of way. So because of that, he's terrible. I don't understand. This is the pshat. Ella, tzedakah, indeed, it was a kindness. It was a tzedakah, asaka, dosh baruch hu in Yisrael. Because if he had waited any longer, by the time the Churban would have sent the bulk of the population to Bavel, there would have been no one in Bavel that could have handled the restructuring of society. But over here, since 11 years earlier, we had had the Golos of Yechanyo and the Harashim Mazger. So all of the leaders had been moved to Bavel. They were still alive. It's only 11 years later. Because of that, when the bulk arrived in Bavel, there was already the makings of an infrastructure that would allow them to survive with the Anshei Kedushas HaGdol, with all of the new takonas and so on. So because of that, it's a great tzedakah. Shigla, galut tzikiyahu early, so that vaday in galut yechonyah kayemet. Because we know the chtibe de galut yechonyah acharash v'amazger elef. So what does this mean? Acharash v'amazger, what they sent carpenters and metal workers. What was that supposed to mean? So charash actually means, comes from the lashon of cheresh, meaning we use the word cheresh both that you don't speak and that you don't hear. So charash means b'shash potchim, nasu akok charashim, that these were talmidei chachamim of such authority that when they start opening up a sugya, you shut your mouth. There's nothing to discuss. And a mazger, kivan she's so green, once they paskin ha'alachas in a particular way, so then there's nobody who can ask on it. So there's nobody to be poteach anymore. So enan potchim, that's the mazger, locked. How many of them were there? Elef. Ula says, you know why it's a tzedakah? No, it's saying how great they were. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to arrive in Bavel at a time that we had such leadership. Ula says, that's not the reason that it's called tzedakah. It's because since the curse, this of course was the pasuk that began the entire discussion over here, the no shantem, kitolid banim uvnei banim v'no shantem. Going back to the simple meaning, I mean, we had a very cute explanation. So now you're overs. You know, that was last Tuesday, mishpacha, you know. But the real meaning of the pasuk is, v'no shantem ba'aretz, that you've gotten to the point where Yeshuva Eretz Yisrael is now hopeless. It's all same old garbage that it's always been. What are you doing there? Had that been the time of the Golos, which was 2 years later, 852 years after Knesset La'aretz, instead of 850 years, because the gematria of Enosh Shantem would have been 852. And instead, it was only 850, because we had 480 at the Beis HaMikdash, until the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, minus the 40 years in the Midbar. 410 years of the Kiyum of the Beis HaMikdash equals 850 years. Had there been 852 years, then the Pasuk of Enosh Shantem would actually have happened, because over there, the end of the story is that you're overs, that it's overs in the avot of Edun. It will be permanently lost. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to get to the point where we would be completely v'no shantem. Because of that, he was maktib 2 years so that it should be less. Shikdim shtei shanim l'v'no shantem ba'aretz. It's like botei ori chayma. That's a time to go hide until that's over, right? Omer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, pointed out Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the end of Enosh Shantem is Ki Avot Tovedun Maher. So apparently Maher, in God's terms, is 852, because of Enosh Shantem for the Avot. Maher is after 852 years, that's what you're saying. So we avoided the Maher by making it a little bit faster. So Shmamina, Mehera, the word Mehera of Mori Alma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tmani Mehera Chamishim Bitardi, which is the gematria of Enosh Shantem that we were able to avoid by the hurrying up of the Golos. Well, maybe be Amen or listen. Says, see, I was about to say, Zog the Heilige Sabbat Josh, and then he could say, Zog the Heilige Mishnah, but all right. Get Mu'useh Yisrael, kasher. If a get is forced in a Beit Din of Yisrael, then such a get is kosher. We'll see, as long as it was forced for the proper reasons. In other words, the marriage was insupportable, illicit, whatever was happening. So over there, we force the divorce, and it's still kosher, as the Rambam explains, even though the get has to be given miritzono. But in a Beit Din Yisrael Yisrael that is forcing a person to do what is right, when he says, and where Bikofinoto by definition means, we hang him up until he says, okay, I want to give that get. Sure. Absolute, yes, I want to give the get. So there we say that since he's being forced, the truth is he really does want to give the get, because deep down, as the Rambam says, every Jew wants to do what's right. This is being done in the best. And when he gives up the fight, it's a recognition in him that, you know what, I might as well do what's right. So at that point, it really is a get. If it's forced in a Beit Din of Ovdei Kochavim, then it's possible. Now, if we have Ovdei Kochavim, Choftim Oto, V'omrim Lo, Asei Mashi Yisrael, Omrim Lecha, if the Goyim say, that. Now there's two ways, two gersaot over here. One is that this is kosher, and this is a separate thing. The goyim are the only ones that have the power, and they are therefore the ones who are forcing the guy, not because they're doing it, but rather they enforce the rules of the Beit Din. Yes, they are the equivalent of the shoter. So then it would be kosher. And Tosfos says that don't think that the way to understand the Mishnah is that ube ovdei kochavim, that's when it's possible. In other words, we're referring to a case where the goyim are forcing him to do, and this would be some because of a gzeras hakosov of the elam mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem v'lo lifnei akum. And this would be considered to be lifnei akum, because tasim is a lashon of forcing. Because over here, it would not be considered to be lifneihem. Because what else do we expect? Do we expect that the actual dayanim should be going out there with some type of whip to force a guy to do things? So therefore, we're talking about over there, it means kosher in this sense. This is the definition of what is meant in the mission above. Omer Reb Nachman Omer Shmuel, Geitam Useh B'Yisrael Kedin Kasher. If the Beit Din correctly is forcing this guy to give a get, so then it would be kosher. This is a case where we have many cases where we say, you know, certain Safikitin or Yotzi V'Yiten Ktuva, where he created an Isser with Neder and so on. We have many cases like that. So that's Bedin. Or obviously, if the marriage was illicit, that's an Isser Lav, but it's still a marriage that requires a get. So that's what we mean by kosher. But if it's Shalom Kedin, if Eistin is responding to some other political issue, and they're doing something that is wrong, then the get is possible. However, it's at least a reach get, and it passes or manakuhuna because people take it seriously since it's done in Beit Din. Whereas by Ovdei Kochavim, if they do it correctly, so then the kedin it's pasul, but it's still pasul. Then it's a reach get. But if it's shalom kedin, then afilo reach get inbo. Some of this doesn't make any sense. If a goyish court has any level at all of legal presence in the minds of people when it comes to getin, so then. But it should be enough to pass with Reach HaGet. If you're telling me that they have no such presence, so then it shouldn't even make Reach HaGet. If they have a presence, then it should pass, then it should be a kosher get also. I mean, how do you get, well, if it was done right, so then it's not a kosher get, but at least it's a Reach HaGet. I mean, no money shop. So, you hold that they're B'nai Asuye, that they can force somebody to give a get, so then the get should be kosher if it's kedin. It's kosher, you know, I mean, it's kosher. You're saying that people will respond and they'll say, well, but the truth is it's the right thing to do, even though the goyim are the one, and Elav B'nai Asuye Ninu. So then people look at this and they say, well, who cares what it came out of a secular court? We're not going to pass a woman to the kahuna based on a secular get. That's a civil state of New York is going to pass a kahuna. So then Mifsul Alivsul either Alzreach Haget. How can you have it both ways? Omer Mishashua, I'll tell you. The truth is that Midioraita, the court of the Goyim, is also Bar Meuseh. They can force you. So Dvar Torah Get Meuseh Beodekov Limim is really kosher. Why did we say it's possible? Because that's all we need is for women to be able to go hire a good lawyer and circumvent the entire dinim of Gittin, which is the dinim of Kirat Sinai, and that a husband should be the one that determines the get. So the reason we say it's possible, Shalote kol achat v'chat olechet, the tola atzma bo'ovet kochavim, umavkat atzma miyad ba'alaz, a woman who wants to get out of a marriage, all she has to find is a friendly guy, saddle up to him, and we'll take care of it. That would be a disaster. So then because of this, we make a gezerah. So then, Yachi Shalom Kedin, Afilu Reach Haget Einba. Well, wait a second, Rav Mishashin, and that doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, if Shalom Kedin is actually exactly the same, they're doing the wrong thing. That's what you're saying, right? They're doing the wrong thing. So we say, we're not going to allow a get like that where you're doing the wrong thing. Fine. So then that means that the wrong thing, when we have a Yisrael doing the wrong thing, we say it's a Re'acha get. So then if the Yaakov do the wrong thing, it should also be a Re'acha get, because essentially they're the same. So why then do we say that Yaakov Shalok Adina Afilo Re'acha get ain't both? Why? It should be the same thing for Nahavi. To Shaloka didn't be Yisrael. It should be exactly the same. Then it would be Mifsal Nami Lifsal. It should pass on the Kuhuna. Elohad Rimasharsha Bedusa. That's ridiculous, Rimasharsha saying. Yes, they have no power at all. The point over here is, why do we say Zanim Aman of Shach? The time am I? Because Kiddin, Bekiddin Yisrael, Michlaf. You see, if they're doing the right thing, so then everybody knows. Well, you know, the court forced the get and so on. So there are people will get confused between such a case. But of a Din Yisrael, so we can't say it's garnished. So over there, we'll say that at least it does have a get, from Zereach a get. People will know that a get was given. They're going to take it seriously on some level. But Shelo Kedin B'Kedin Yisrael Lo Michla. People will not take it seriously when it was all obviously done to circumvent Allah of Gittin, and therefore we don't have to worry about a Gezerah that it will be confused. Why don't we say already that, but then we could have a Gezerah that it would confuse the Shelo Kedin with the Shelo Kedin of Yisrael? That's a Gezerah. Say, since Shelo Kedin of Yisrael, the Allah is that it passes the Kahuna, so the Lo Kedin of an Akram should be confusable with the Shelo Kedin of Yisrael? Says Rashi, because that'll be anyway a gzera la gzera. Because the whole din of Re'ach HaGet that passes lakuna anyway is a gzera. So now we're going to say, well, you know, we don't want people to maybe think that it's not a Re'ach HaGet when it comes out of Yisrael's. So what's the worst that's going to happen? So they won't pass the lakuna. Numela, but he writes anyway she's not pass the lakuna. We're not going to make a gzera that people are going to come to forget the din d'rabbanan of Re'ach HaGet. We don't do such a thing. Now, Abaye finds Rav Yosef in his Besen. The Yosef become Maasei Agita. He finds that his Beis Din used to actually hang up guys and get them to give a get. Omar Lay, so he says to Rav Yosef, how do we here in Bavel have a right to do such a thing? V'ha'anan hedyotot anan. We don't have a din of a real Beis Din. We don't have smicha because they stopped giving smicha in Bavel. There's no smicha in Bavel. V'tanya, and the Braita says, that Haya Rabbi Tarfon Omer, kol makom sh'atam otzei agoriot shel ovdei kochavim. You may find a full gathering of, it's very interesting because it's another one of these beautiful Greek words that came into Hebrew. Because agoria is the marketplace, right? It's agoraphobia. That's the literal meaning of the shuk. But in le'egor. But in Hebrew, le'egor means to gather together. So we could call the agoria in Hebrew. We could say it's a gathering of, which is the equivalent of agoria in Greek. So we have agoriot, shalovdei kochavim. And in such a case, even though they're doing everything, you cannot go to them for a case. Because so you cannot go to Goyim, nor can you present a din to a Beis Din of people that don't have the smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how are you going around acting as if you have a real Beis Din? This whole thing is a phony thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful case. You know. That was the Get Moose. You know that case, that Abramowitz case, that his father. Yeah, no. Yeah, the judge, that incredible judge. Yeah, his name was what? No, it was McDon. So he was a Dayan. His name was McDon, an Irish guy. Right? It was a real cute story. I've said it a few times. His father, this tree's father. Irving's father was a lawyer. So he had a client, a Jewish client, and what happened was they were in court. There was this Maryland judge, and they were contesting a child, all kinds of issues for divorce. So the judge gave his psak, Bigdan gave his psak, and he pops up, father pops up and says, you know, Your Honor, your psak is all very nice, but the fact is that this woman is going to be blackmailed into doing exactly what the husband wants, because until he gives a Jewish divorce, she's not divorced, even though you granted her a divorce, with this understanding. So he says, what is this Jewish divorce? I want to see it. I don't have one. So bring me the Jewish divorce tomorrow. I want to look this over. So they reconvene, and his father brings in the Jewish divorce. So the guy looks this over, and he says to the husband, he says, come here and sign this. So his lawyer says, Your Honor, I object. This is a religious document. You can't force a guy to sign a religious document. So he says, okay, that he's in contempt of court. Bailiff, bring the cat of nine tails. In Maryland, in those days, you actually, on the spot, brought out a cat of nine tails, and you hit the guy until he did what he was told to do. It's unbelievable. It's an amazing story. So the guys actually came up, obviously, and signed again. Then came the whole question of did he get with Musa? Obviously, it wasn't Al-Bi Yisrael, but Lamaisa. So there was a whole, I mean, this became obviously the Jewish lawyers, obviously. The Sun papers ran a whole thing on this, you know, primitive, but cat of nine tails. So this guy, Migdan, wrote a beautiful letter to the Sun in which he said, you may be aware of the fact that in Maryland, a recidivist comes back to the original judge of the first time that he had the case, right? So he says, I want you to look at the records. Okay, the records in this state are that the highest rate of recidivism is for wife beating. The guy who beats his wife, you give him a fine, so he's back again 2 months later. He never can control himself. Says there is one judge in this state that has never had a second case of wife beating, and that's me. And you know why? Because I don't find them. I take out the cat of nine tails, and I flog them, and they never come back. So there, you use the liberal approach against them already. Wife beating, no mela. If that's the only way to stop it, okay. That's a beautiful hashtaka. But it's unbelievable. You see, the Indian of Malchus and the Torah, instead of this, you know, fining, jail terms, who cares about those things? Now a parent is not allowed to raise a finger against a child. No, in some place.
Right.
Yeah, but I'll bet flogging would be even better. So anyway, so he asked him, how is it that we can do it? You're acting as if you're a real Beit Din. Omar Lei, that's because you know perfectly well. We know that we're empowered as agents of the court. It's true, it's not our own court, but we're empowered by the Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael to continue to act as agents of the Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael. That we're koveya for generations, this shlichut. And we have a right. That our smicha today consists essentially of that, just of the authorization that you too are knowledgeable enough to be able to be included in this, to do their shlichut. And we do this, therefore, why do you think you have a right to judge in our court somebody who's lent money and hasn't paid back, and that somebody's moda that he owes money on? That's the only reason we can judge that either. So then why is it that here in Bava we never bring cases that have to do with Gizela or Chavala? Now, many of the Rishonim learn that means Gizela and Chavala together, where there was an actual injury and a stick-up and so on. So over there, we don't deal with that, says Rabbi Yosef, because only those things that happen all the time and that therefore it was part of a standard authorization, we have to deal with it. Things that don't come up very often, there we don't have to deal with it. But remember that this has nothing to do with the other power of the court, which is to do things based on their own determination of social needs, which is Hora'at Sha'a. We're over there, we'll do whatever the heck we need, and things get out of control, and there's a societal need to do something, even though that something is outrageously against the halacha, we will do that. Yeah, so he's saying a get Musa is part of our shlichut. Oh, our sweet little naive president. In the old, good old days, back in Europe and South Africa, where they just came over, you know, a get, chas v'shalom, a get, who ever heard of a get? People could live their whole lives and never meet anybody who was divorced. That's the way it was. It was absolutely outrageous. It's a scandal, shame come out. People got divorced. Yeah. Quick review. Shiyer miktzata getu ketavo bedaf hasheni va'edim milamata kasher. Chatmu edim barosha daf min hatzar u'me'acharav. If we're talking about a get pashut, of course. Pasu. Hikif rosho shol ze betzad rosho shol ze va'edim be'emtza shneem psumim. Sofa shoze betzat sofa shoze vede beemtza shedim nikrenim o kasher. Rosh shoze betzat sofa shoze vede beemtza et shedim nikrenim besofo kasher. Get shiktavo ivrit v'yegdav yivanit. Yivanit. V'yegdav ivrit, edachad ivrit, edachad yivanit. Or, ketav sofer ve'et kasher. Ish ploni eid, that's fine. Ben ish ploni eid, also fine. Ish ploni, ben ish ploni without eid, also fine. It's kosher, it's not considered to be shina shmo shma. Olechesh Dilma Hani Trade Gite Havik Vitrami Lizman the Kama Vadim the Batra Vagasya Lizman the Batra Vadim the Kama. Amrabam Amravia, it's talking about Shiesh Rebach Melamata. Okay, so maybe Zuma's man the batra megis gazia. No, same way Rabab Amar, I mean, yeah, he has to talk it out. Same way he was quoting Rav Kishesh Revak Mulamata. It's obviously the same thing. Kishesh Revak Mulamala. But Dilma Imluchi Imluch Bekata? No, because he Katav Arei At Bilamata and then Mutera Bekol Adam Bilabala. No, so Dilma Yisrami like, Akikuli Hago Kashina. Ravashi Amar, it's very simple. The idea of Bematchata de Megilta. Chotmu edim barosh hadav. Eni vorav chotim minat zad. Hotam b'shigago kwape aktav. Velo hodik toni kif rosho shoze b'tzad rosho shoze. Ve'edim b'emtza shneyem besulim. Why shneyem besulim? Lich zeh hai minal kwape aktav v'lit kasher. No, hatab d'rami leki ibra. Oh, yeah? Yorki sefer dik toni rosho shoze b'tzad rosho shoze. Ve'edim b'emtza shneyem nikrim b'sofo kasher. According to you, that it's rami ki ibra. There's no such thing. La ba'ade hai mikri v'la ba'ade hai mikri. You're right. Okay, el ram v'diski avichot. Get she ketavo ivrit or ketav sofer. Ve'ed kasher omer b'yom. It doesn't mean ketav sofer. It means chatam sofer shaninu. Omer v'chis tovani rev yosi, obviously, because otherwise it'd have to be chayish, that the sofer wasn't meant to be chotem. Ayik tuvat chatanim. Ta'ati lekamid rabbi avod aviyadiyah leil tufsa. So that's the ketav sofer. And one of the Edim were also identifiable. Look at him in the other Chatzahad. Sovar lach shure, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, no, Chatam sofer shaninu. Katav chanichato v'chanichata, kasher tanur avon chanichat avot begitin ad asar adorot. Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer shlosh adorot. Kosha. Mikan ve'elech, pos, kaman oz odem Rebbe Chanina, katav chanichat avot begitin ad shlosh adorot, kiman, Reb Shimon Elazar. Omer v'na maikro, ki tolid banim, two generations. B'nei banim, three, v'no shantem. Beyond that, you're over it. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, lo karva eretz Yisrael, acha avduba, shiv'a batei dinim avodah zarah. Ve'elu hein, Yerobam ben Nevat, Baasha ben Achi, Yaakov ben Omri, Yehu ben Nimshi, Pekach ben Remaliyahu, Menachem ben Gadi, Hoshea ben Elah. Shinemar, unlala, yoledet shiva, ha-shiva, nafcha nafsha, Baashim shaba od yomam, Bosha v'chofira. Omre v'ami maikro, ki tolid banim uvenei vanim. Omre v'kan v'asi l'rav, k'tiv be bo'shea ben Elah, v'yas harab enei Hashem rak lo k'malcha Yisrael. And then it says, v'Allah v'Allah shaman Esther. Does that make sense? Omar lo, yes, because otam par desiyot, shoshiv yiravam al hadrachim, k'dei shelo ya'alu Yisrael regel, bo'shea bitlan. Why are they called Charash? Why are they called the Masger? Given she's so green, Shuv in Potchim. Vakama Elef. Ula Amashik dim shteishanim levano shantem. Omre Vacha bar Yaakov Shmamino. That Mehira, in the point of view of God's perspective, Amori Alma refers to Tmani Mehava Chamishim Vatarati. Get Musa be Israel kasher, both the Kochavim Pasu, Ube the Kochavim Choftimot over Mimla, same as Israel Omrimla, over there it should be kasher. Omrim Nachman Amrishmu, get Musa be Israel Kedin kasher. Shor Kedin Pasul, Uposel from the Kuna. Of the Kochavim Kedin is Pasul, but it's Pasul Minakuna. Shalom Kedin Afilorecha, get in, but it's not passing for the Kuna. Munavshach, says the Gemara. I of the Kochavim Beneasu Yeninu, it's Kasher, I'm his Kasher. Ilav v'neasu yeninu at all. So I mean, so nobody takes it seriously. Omre mesharsha, the truth is it must be that Dvar Torah get mu'useb of dekel chavim is kosher. Matam omru pasul, shalot ei kol achat v'achat olechet, v'tole atzma, v'dekel chavim, afkat atzma v'yad ba'ala. Somebody made this up. It's ridiculous. But do we see the time of my kedin bekedin the Yisrael is mechlam, but shalok kedin bekedin the Yisrael lo mechlam. As far as shalok kedin b'shalok kedin, that's a gzera b'yalma. It would be a gzera le gzera. Abaya ashkechel Rav Yosef, the Yosvik of Maase Agiti. Oh, I'm like, how can you do that? Vanan had yotot anan. Vitzani ha Rabbi Tarfon amar kol makom shata motzei ugoriot. Shalodei kochavim. Af api shedineim kedinei Yisrael yata rashay vizakek lehem. Shenema ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. Lefneihem ve'lo lefnei avdei kochavim. Davar achel lefneihem ve'lo lefnei hediotot. Oh, I'm like, anan shlichutayu kavdinan. Mire le'avi ha-odot ve'alvaot. If that's the case of gzelot v'chavalot nami.
Isn't it more common